Hello, y'all. We are going to try to do this with this thing propped up. I just got back from a run, if you're wondering why my hair is like Bequita and why I am dressed so fabulously today. I literally ran up until, well, walk run, let's put it that way, up until 8 minutes before this live, and then jumped in the shower because I was stinktastic and blew my hair dry. So I did all of that in that short amount of time. So I am going with my ultra casual look this morning. And the nice thing is today is one of those days you're the last live thing I do today. And then the rest of the day is I am working on wrapping up the August planning course for you guys. And what else? I think that's all I have on the calendar today. It's just doing that. And I've already recorded the weekend motivator for tomorrow. So I'm super excited about that. And I have the Kentucky meetup coming up on Saturday. So I'll be in Kentucky with some of our tribe members with Kathy Hartman for lunch. And so it's just an exciting few days. If you guys have questions, now's the time to post them. Yeah, drink some water. It was very hot and humid in Nashville. Your weekend motivator tomorrow is all about. Oh. See, I knew that was going to happen. Let me see. I don't know how much battery I have left. We'll do it this way without that. And then if we can, I'll have to plug it in later. Your weekend motivator tomorrow is really good. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Don't Stop Believing plans for next year because I'm training. I shot it while I was out training. And we're making the Don't Stop Believing bigger next year. And we are hiring an event company to come and do all the things so that me and the coaches can just really focus on loving all of you guys. And so they're going to take care of lots of duties, and they specialize in fun events. That's their thing. So I'm doing this race because they use the same greenway as we do, but they have a different start point. And I want to see what that's like. And I got to figure out how to do our half marathon distance starting from a different point. So it'd be kind of cool. So that's why I'm training for a 15K. Otherwise, my ass would not be doing this. But I just want to be able to get out there, and I want to be able to walk, run comfortably for 9 miles, stop, think about where we're going to set up stuff, just do some stuff like that. So it's kind of like a reconnaissance mission while I'm there. And then I shot your weekend motivator right after that, talking about your potential and how not to limit it and where you might be limiting it. So that's what you've got to look forward to for tomorrow. If anybody has any questions, you need to use hashtag ask and ask away. Otherwise, I'm just going to like chit chat with you guys and get out of here. If you don't have any, here's someone. She didn't use hashtag ask, but I'm going to just read it while Mary Jo starts with the next one. Make sure you use hashtag ask. That's how Mary Jo finds them because they come in fast. It seems like the harder I try to stay on plan, the worse my urges get. What am I doing wrong, or am I near a breakthrough? You're near a breakthrough. Your brain is just hanging on to what you've been doing. That's all that's happened. Don't be like, of course it's going to seem harder because your brain is getting ready to flip the switch to this is the new normal. Anytime, guys, that you are, anytime at all that you are going to be, like trying to like change a habit or whatever, it gets louder before the switch happens. So just know that that's a normal part of the process. And also you can be on the lookout for if it's feeling harder, what is your conversation that you're having? Like, I wish this part would stop. Like, I've done this like 2 weeks. I don't understand why it's getting louder. If that's happening, that's called the unnecessary suffering. That's the part that's completely optional for you. Your habit brain, though, it just sending up what it always says, like, hey, it was time to eat. Hey, this is terrible. We should just like go get a snack, whatever that is. That's the normal part, and that's the part that you can just like understand. Nothing's going wrong. This is just the part where my brain is chatting away at whatever it's going to say. That's our habit brain, guys. Whatever it's been used to using as your excuses, your justifications, your talking into it, whatever it's done, it's always going to do that. And it's going to do that for a long time. The first thing that usually happens in the process is those things come up, you start arguing. The next part of the process is those things come up, you notice you're arguing, you're like, oh yeah, we're not supposed to be doing that part. Then you stop that. The next part of the process is those things come up. You barely start the arguing. You stop. And then you start wishing that you never had to do that step. Then the next part of the process, bullshit comes up. You don't argue. You're glad that you're not arguing anymore. An argument will start. You dismiss that. And then you start really realizing, oh, I can just listen to those thoughts. I don't actually have to argue and wish them away and do all these other things. All the while, through that process, you're having overeats, and sometimes you're not having overeats. They're just, things are just happening throughout that process. As long as you're just watching that process is all a necessary part and not saying, I'm a fucking loser. Why is everybody else in the tribe getting this but me? I'm just going to quit. Like, if that part comes up, that's called unnecessary suffering. But if you just notice, sometimes I respond and make a decision to eat, and sometimes I make a decision not to eat. I'm just going to keep going through the process. There's no reason to stop. If I'm stopping, it's because I'm giving up on the process and judging myself. If I keep going, it means that I'm willing to keep trying until the process finally starts clicking. There's so many steps in the process. Most of you think the process is, oh, okay, I've wrote my food down. I'm going to lose weight. No, that is like there's a difference between the process and the steps of the process. We tell you, like, you're going to do a 24-hour plan. You're going to eat 2 to 2. You're going to drink your water, your sleep. And you're, you know, like, we're going to do the four basics, right? The problem isn't, like, that's really all that has to happen. But the steps of that process are all the negotiation, all the things, the start and stop, the learning how to let go of judgment, all of that part. That's the part that you're in the tribe for. Any fucking fool can go out there and listen to the damn podcast and know the four basics. That's it. The problem is most people aren't, like, they don't understand, like, what I teach you. It's like, yeah, it's going to feel harder. But that's part of the process. Part of the process is that you're going to have days that you eat on plan. You're going to have days that you don't eat plan. You have to learn how to let go of the judgment steps. That's what we're teaching you in here. Nobody teaches you that outside. I allude to it outside, but we don't teach it outside. So that's the benefit of being in here. Thank you, Jennifer. This is like a glowing review. Thank you for doing such an amazing job with PNP and offering so much knowledgeable information. My question about your journey since losing your 100 pounds and maintaining the last 14 years, do you ever find yourself struggling with off-plan overeats from time to time? And how have you managed to not fall back into habits with food habits after 14 years? Yes. So, like, if you, when we did the What We Eat thread, I had off-plan eats that week. I would say there's never a week that I don't eat off-plan. Maybe every now. I would say almost on the weekly, I eat off plan at some point. I either will eat past my 2, or I will substitute something. Something will sound good, or we'll go out drinking and I'll have one more drink than I thought I was going to have. Like, all of those things happen. Here's going to be the shock and awe for all of you. There are days that I wake up, I get busy, and I don't make a 24-hour plan. It happens. Not very often, but it does. But guess what? I've been able to do my own plan. I've been able to fuck up for 14 years, and here I am. That's what I keep trying to teach you guys. The only difference, like, when you say, like, how have you not fell back into bad habits? Because I never think that you can fall into a habit. Like, it's not like you're just walking along doing great and like, oh, fuck, what happened? I'm just eating off plan. That's not what happens. I always take ownership that if I didn't eat on plan, if I didn't make a 24-hour plan this day, whatever it is, that's because I chose not to. Nothing's just happening. Nothing's ever outside of Corinne's control. I always ask myself, why did you not choose to today? I don't allow myself the king bullshit excuse of something outside of me makes decisions, or that I am such an imbecile that I never know that I decided something. I don't care if it happened fast. Like, I have times where, like, sometimes I'll notice, like, we'll go out to eat and I'm just like in the throes of, oh yeah, I'm going to have some of that. And I'm eating it. I never sit there and think, I don't know what happened. Next thing I knew, I was just eating nachos. Because I made an agreement with myself a long time ago that I take full responsibility. I always say, like, at some point I decided I was going to have nachos. That's all on me. It wasn't because they were sitting there. It wasn't because I didn't have a 24-hour. It wasn't any of that. It was just like in the moment, I just decided. That allows my brain to catalog a lot of things faster and better. So it helps you not ever feel like things are out of your control. Because if you have this idea that somehow you don't know what you're doing, then your brain more quickly goes to unconsciousness. But there's always a decision that is made. Even if it's a nanosecond, there's always a decision that's made. So like one of my goals with all of you is to get you to the point to where you're like I am now. When I'm getting ready to break a plan, when I am getting ready to overeat, when I am getting ready to like poop all over doing my own plan, the nanosecond has now stretched out more because I take full responsibility. I just, in that moment, I am like, we're either deciding we're doing this or we're not. And when I decide to do it, when I'm like, I'm going off plan, I never beat myself up, but I also don't sweep it under the rug. I never tell myself, well, it's okay, we'll deal with this tomorrow. No, you know what I tell myself? It's like, there will be recovery worksheets. There will be working on this. Like, we're going to take ownership. We are going to continue to unwind things. I just feel like I am going to unwind things for the rest of my life, and that's okay. I would rather be a human being that is so willing to continue to work on her journey, continue to work on herself. Like, I would trade working on it for easy any day of the week. And here's why. Because if it came easy, I wouldn't learn shit. And it's never going to come easy anyway, so I'm not going to sit there and wish for it. And the other thing is, like, I just don't mind doing it. Every time I ever tried the easy route, I always gained my weight back. And then I had to suffer with that piece. I don't want to suffer in that way anymore. If I'm going to be uncomfortable or tired or whatever, I'm going to be tired because I'm showing up so hard for myself. I just think that for me personally, and what I would encourage all of you do, is embrace the idea of, like, let's all go to bed every night because we showed up so hard for ourselves all day long. We just required ourselves to do uncomfortable things. We just required ourselves to chase our dreams. We just required ourselves to say no when we just want something and saying yes to our future. I'd rather go to bed like that every day, wore out. And eventually what happens is you're not wore out by it. You're motivated by it because you're acting from love in all of those times. Most of us are going to bed tired and exhausted every day because we're on the cycle of beating ourselves down and not showing up for ourselves. It's like, if I'm going to bed tired, I'm going to bed tired with a fucking good reason. I reached my first big goal of 60 pounds and down. Congratulations, Amanda. And I'm deciding if I want to keep going or get into maintenance. Is it okay if I maintain for a while, or do I need to keep assessing and planning for a loss? I would maintain for a while if you want to. There's no right or wrong. You can do either one. You just challenge yourself for whichever one you want to do. But we have a lot of people that will lose weight and then they'll just maintain. And then they'll just kind of like get used to maintaining. And then they'll evaluate if they want to keep going. My only thing is that if you think you're going to want to lose more weight, it's easier to do it with momentum than it is to maintain and then kickstart it again. That's just my opinion, but it doesn't mean that that's right or wrong. Either way, you can do it. Just both of them, they both have pros and cons to them. I've been talking with my accountability group, and a couple of us are going through a lot of life stuff. And she said she's working on feeling the feelings, and it hit me hard with the realization that I'm not doing that. I'm numbing with alcohol and food for the last 2 weeks. Do you have some thoughts on how to start my TDL for feeling all the feels? Yeah, what am I feeling today and why? Like, I would literally say, like, just make yourself, my top three feelings today are these three things. And each one of them, write about why you're feeling that way. Or just pick one and write about why you're feeling that way. That is, like, the first thing. And let me just tell you, the way to feel your feelings is you're not going to drink. And then you're going to feel all the feelings. First, you're going to feel the feelings of not drinking. Then you're going to feel the feelings of what you're drinking to cover up. Most of you, what happens is that you're drinking to cover up something. It's like, I don't want to think about this, or I don't want to deal with this, but you're dealing with it anyway. The problem is you're dealing with it with alcohol, then you're dealing with having to feel like shit about not getting your goals. So you're like, you're taking what you're dealing with. It never goes away. I mean, we all think, oh, I'm not feeling my feelings. It's like, no, you're still like, I want you to just be honest. Am I still suffering over this? Because if alcohol and booze was fixing it, I mean, if food and booze was fixing it, the shit would be solved by now. Oh, wait, it's not solving. So what is it going to take to solve it? What is it going to take to feel? For a lot of you, the hardest part is a lot of times you're worked up over life stuff. And it's not taking ownership of your side of the stuff. You're still waiting for the other person or the other thing to change before you're willing to do your work. It's like, what if you just let go of the idea they are changing or that's changing? And it's like, where am I changing? What am I changing? How am I going to change how I'm thinking about this? Before I want somebody else to change their story, I should probably fucking change my own story. That's what I do for myself all the time. And I want you to hear how I said that. That is what I do for myself all the time. I let people be a mess. I let people make mistakes. I let people behave and do however it is they're doing. And one of the good calls that we did recently was, I think it was, Mary Jo, you'll have to tell me, but I think it was Sunday's call where I was coaching someone on, she didn't want to feel better about her brother because she was like, it would let him off the hook for how he behaved. And I said, he's on no hook. You sitting around feeling angry, resentful, and judgmental, and thinking he needs to be different, guess what? He's still being him. But guess who's at the brunt of all of your thoughts? You're not letting yourself off the emotional hook. When we just decide not to be mad at someone and angry and resentful and whatever all of it is, guess what? They don't feel better. And they don't feel worse. Doesn't matter. You always feel your own feelings. Your feelings are always just generated by how you're thinking in that moment. So you changing how you think and feel about someone doesn't give them anything. It gives you grace. That's what happens. Can you tell me which podcast to listen to that will motivate me to get back on track? Mine. I have really fallen off the wagon the last 2 weeks. I was feeling so good and motivated, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's not gone. You're waiting for your motivation to kind of like drop back down on you like some kind of magic bullshit. That's not how it works. Here's how motivation happens. I stopped telling myself a lie that I need to feel good to make a 24-hour plan. Guess what you need to do? Everyone, if like I say this all the time, if you are listening to this Facebook Live and you've not written a 24-hour plan, what the fuck are you doing right now? Go get a piece of paper and write your plan. You're wasting time. This and another podcast is not going to do what a pen and a piece of paper will do. You all have to quit waiting for motivation, waiting for the words, waiting for the stuff. The only way to lose weight, guys, is step one, write your 24-hour plan. It's realistic. Step two, over, like for all of you who are sitting there going, well, you know, come on, 24-hour plans are so hard. I just got back from vacation and I got all my shit. Well, I don't give a fuck what all that is. You know what that is? Wasting time. It takes way more energy to whine about it. It takes way more energy to sit around and wonder what else needs to happen for you to get off your ass. It takes way more energy for you to sit around and ask for input from 40 different people. What should I be doing? It takes way more energy to sit there and feel bad about yourself all day long because you know somewhere on the inside you ain't doing the shit you said you do. That takes a lot of energy. Y'all need to really hear this. It takes way more energy to not do the program and to sit around and feel like shit than it does to write a fucking 24-hour plan. It's 2 minutes of your day. Get into that habit. Do you know what, like, does anybody even want to guess what step two of the 24-hour plan is? Somebody type in the comments what you think step two is. Just want to see if anybody's sharp. I think we're on delay. I want to see. Step two, follow it. No. Follow it. No. No. We got a lot of follow it's. Let me tell you why that's not review and follow it. No. Let me tell you why this is not step two. You know what step two is? This is for everyone that is sitting around not doing their 24-hour plan. We're going to get off the piece of paper right now, and we're going to make it realistic. Step two, override my bullshit story. It's not good enough. You know what step three is? So I've made a 24-hour plan. Step two, override my bullshit story. Step three, put that motherfucker out somewhere where I can see it all day long, because I know I'm going to talk myself out of it, and I need a visual reminder that I'm supposed to be doing this shit. Step four is tell myself one more time that we can do this and it's good enough. Step five, remind myself for the umpteenth time today that we have a 24-hour plan and we are going to follow it. That just gets you through noon. That's the actual process. Like, when you really want to, like, know the process, it's like, make a plan, deal with all the incoming bullshit that comes with it. What are we eating? Oh, yeah, it's on the plan. I really don't want to eat what's on that plan. That's okay. We're going to eat what's on the plan. I don't think you made it really realistic. Well, then you can change that bitch tomorrow, honey, but we're going to follow the plan today. Oops, I ate off plan. Okay, we don't do fuck it's anymore. The biggest lie I ever tell myself is that for some reason, because I didn't follow the plan, that the next meal is a donkey fest. No, you know what it is? The next meal is a decision. I still got a 24-hour plan that I can keep following. Like, step 30 for day one is, oh yeah, we're not beating ourselves up anymore. Forgot about that part. That is a day in the life of one plan. That's what it's going to take. And then you're going to do that for a long time. And you're going to start feeling better about yourself, because you're going to start understanding that this conversation is completely normal. It's not a big deal. You're like, half of that will go away in about a week because you'll quit fighting the process. And I will tell you, that is way easier than what you guys decide to do, which is nothing except beat yourself on the regular for not being able to do things, wonder, wish, and pine for weight loss, daydream about when you're going to get your shit together, relive your past and why you're so broken. Like, all of that sucks. It's way emotionally draining. And it has zero benefits at the end. No payoff. My way? Yep, emotionally draining. It's going to feel a little schizophrenic in the very beginning. But that's what happens. That's the real way we do this. This is why I give you thought work. I give you the process of the four basics. But these are all the steps that are required to get from feeling like, what do I need to get motivated? Off your ass. That's what you need to do to get motivated. You're going to have to do some plans, and you're going to have to, like, figure some shit out along the way and make some mistakes and get back up. I'm going to guarantee you, for those, the people who are most motivated in this tribe are not the ones doing it perfectly every day. The most motivated people in the tribe are the ones who are like, you know what? I've been like having these overeats, but I'm figuring some shit out. I'm starting to see things. Like, I'm still going. And you know, even with all that, I'm still losing some weight. This is amazing. I've never felt like I'm in control of myself. That's motivation. I'm sticking with the basics. I'm just sticking with the basics. That's all I teach. What are you talking about, Kylie? There are just the basics. Haven't done many of the extras. There's no extras. There's the basics. I'm down 21 pounds since April. Yes. Is this holding up my... you're down 21 pounds and you're wondering if doing the basics is holding you back. Oh my God. Would I be losing more if I was taking other courses, doing challenges? I'm scared if I add anything, I won't be able to stick with it. No. And let me just tell you, the only thing, like the other courses and stuff, all there is just listening to shit. It's just, like if you're listening to this, you're already adding in the extra shit. You're hearing the stuff I'm saying in all that other junk. But when it comes to the actual application of what to do, guys, it doesn't get any fancier than the four basics. It just doesn't. That's what we do up in here. We do the four basics, and the four basics are supposed to trigger all this other bullshit of making mistakes and doing all these other things. That's where the other lessons come in. I'm currently on some hormones for IVF, which makes me feel very fatigued. I'm eating well and sleeping enough, but the intensity of the fatigue is real. And when I'm fatigued, I tend to not give a shit about what I eat. Do you have any tips for fighting fatigue? The fatigue is not what's creating the not giving a shit. You're using that as an excuse to not follow your plan. I need you to take responsibility that fatigue is not causing this. You're putting blame on IVF and fatigue. No, it's where Nicole is deciding, I'm going to eat because I'm tired. And you need to start telling yourself, I'm going to eat because I'm not following the plan. There's being tired, and there are lots of people in the world who can have fatigue, and they don't have to overeat because of it. If I'm overeating right now, it's simply because I'm just making that choice. When you step into that and you quit blaming fatigue, because the problem is if it's fatigue's fault, fatigue has to go away for you to be able to do this. Or you have to white knuckle through fatigue. I need you just to own right now. You're just deciding to eat instead of feel fatigue. But it's not fatigue's fault. It's the decision you're making. Do you have any tips for fighting fatigue? I wouldn't fight the fatigue. I would just be like, this is part of IVF. And I'm going to be really tired, but I don't eat over it. That's really what you're going to have to do. You're probably just going to have to feel fatigue. But if you're going to, like, let me just say, I want to fight fatigue. You're already fucking tired. You don't need to do a fight too. You're not going to have the energy for it. I would just feel fatigue. And be okay with it. And just say, like, it has nothing to do with what I put in my mouth, though. It's like I can't bust through 210. I started in April at 217. And now I'm just playing around to 11. It's so frustrating. Any small misstep sends my weight up. Yeah, because you're overeating. I always want you guys to, like, I want you to see that. It seems like the missteps are like, fucking me up. It's like, of course they are. Because they're called overeating. It's like saying, I want to be able to overeat and lose weight. You need to be talking to yourself like, I need to be addressing the missteps rather than figuring out how I can overeat and lose weight. Because that's what the question is asking like. And so what I want you to do, Brittany, is like, what is it going to take for me to bust through 210? Probably, based upon the scale and everything, work on why I'm having missteps. What are those? Where am I overeating? And what am I willing to do to solve for this? That's the question to be asking. Not like, it just seems like these things are like tripping me up. It's like, no, that is the truth. They are tripping you up. Because I don't want you to learn how to lose weight by overeating. I want you to learn how to solve your overeating. Why am I doing it? Why am I hanging on to these? Why are these missteps way more important than getting below 210 right now? Ask those questions. Brittany, your arms and shoulders are goals. Well, thank you. I try. I want to love my arms as much as it seems you do. What is your workout routine for your shoulders and arms? I have serious bat wings and want to feel confident in sleevelessness. So first of all, to feel confident in sleeveless, you can do that now. I know that's a mind blower. It's like, well, I think if they look this way, I would be confident. I'm going to tell you, like my arms don't even look as good as they used to. And I have days I don't feel confident about them because now I compare them to what they used to look like. As I'm getting older, you know, like gravity's taking effect and I have to consciously decide to feel confident. Do you see how, like, I just want to like point this out, how you guys assume that like the amount of weight you lose or the way you look or whatever, that's what gives you confidence. Let's not forget our model. You're going to have arms and they're going to just look a certain way. And then you're going to have a thought about your arms. And then that's going to lead to confidence. So if you wanted to feel confidence about your arms now, the way that I would do it would just be like, I'm so willing to work on these. Like, how they look now is going to help me get to how they're going to look at the end. Like, having that kind of confidence. All right. Now, the next thing is like, just like the weightlifting routine. I lift shoulders. I almost always have, and this is, now, it's not going to happen overnight. It took me years and years and years to build like this much. But what happens is, like, I lift shoulders almost independently every single week. So when I lift weights, even when I do upper body days, I primarily will make sure that I will do, like, I prioritize shoulders. So shoulders will always come first in the workout. Then back, then chest, then arms or something. Usually I do arms dead last, just because I'm a big believer that if you do your back work and your chest work, that helps. It's almost like getting a bonus with your arms. So I do a lot of like arm days, but I will say the way my arms look is because of, I have always lifted a heavy back and I haven't lifted a heavy chest in a long time just because I have fake boobs, but I'm getting back to heavier chest lifts. But I mean, basically, like with shoulders, I have to prioritize shoulders in my lifting routine in order for them to grow at all. So I make sure that I do a really good shoulder routine every week. I don't have a specific one that I do. I mix it up all the time. I've just done so many shoulder routines over the years that I know how to do them. But I typically will do a couple of variations of an overhead press. Sometimes I'm barbelling. Sometimes it's dumbbells. Sometimes it's like facing this way. Sometimes I'll do shoulder presses this way. And I'll do either like just a straight. Sometimes I do them seated. Sometimes I do them standing. I just mix it up. But there's usually at least two overhead presses in every routine. Then I do at least one set of some kind of side laterals. And I like to do once every about 3 weeks, I do something called a run the rack, where the goal literally is just to make them like burn like crazy. So like I'll start with fives. I go 5, 8, 10, 15, or wait, no wait, yeah. Most of the time I go 10, 15, but if I'm at home, I can add 12s in there because I actually have 12s. And then I run back down the rack. So I'll do an up the rack and down the rack, 10 reps each. Even if I have to stop and regroup, I just keep going until I've done it. And I usually will do 2 to 3 sets of those somewhere in the middle. So I usually start with an overhead press. Then I go into laterals. And then I usually do another overhead press. Sometimes I will do upright rows. I don't do a ton of them. I don't know if y'all can tell. I have pretty meaty, even though I love this look. I love, like, I'm just like a dude. Like, I always love having, like, this big meaty area here. But I only do upright rows probably once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks, because they will, like, grow like that. When I'm lifting a lot and doing a lot of upright rows, man, these things will just get like dude-ish. And then I do at least one rear delt. Every now and then though, like I don't do a lot of front raises just because I do a lot of chest. And when I do chest, I do incline work. And if you do incline work with chest, you're working your front delt. And my right front delt especially gets just kind of like, it can get sore. And right now I'm running a lot. And so when I'm running and walking a lot for my race, this front delt gets a lot of overuse real quickly. So I try to stay away from doing a lot of front raises. So anyway, with all that said, if you want to like build shoulders, guys, do a dedicated shoulder day and then do another day where you do upper body. If you want to start, like if you want to get really good arms, then I would probably do a dedicated shoulder day, a dedicated back and chest day, and then a dedicated arm day. And that way your arms are getting hit twice, because on back and chest, you have to use a lot of tricep and a lot of bicep to help those big body parts. So, you know, splitting it out 3 days, but build up. I started with full body workouts. I did body pump back in the day, loved body pump. Then I started doing upper body splits. So I would have an upper body day and a lower body day. And then I pretty much transitioned almost into five, like splitting my body parts out 5 days a week. You can go to a 3-day split next, which is really good for most people. But I just really got into weightlifting after a while and I started lifting 5 days a week. So there was like shoulder day, leg day, chest day, back day, and arm day. All right. You mentioned in one of your emails about being afraid of food. I'm extremely afraid of food. I'm afraid to cook or bake or be around food, especially when I'm alone. This is especially true when my schedule or routine is interrupted. What do you suggest? You need to figure out your thoughts around why you're afraid. So I would take this to ask coaches if I was you. And I would do a download on why you're afraid of food. What are the what are your top five thoughts? Like, I'm afraid of food because this will happen. And those are the thoughts that are holding you back. That's where the fear is coming in. But I would take it to ask coaches and tell them, like, here's my thoughts around it. Also tell them, if I could think something else, it would be this. Because if you're afraid of food, you probably want to feel in control or confident. Those are probably the two top feelings that people want to feel. In order to feel either confident or in control, I would need to be thinking this instead of that. Then let them help you on how do you start constructing getting there. Okay? You are coming up on 15 years of weighing what you do. How long until your smaller body feels like you own it and it's not going away? Do you feel normal? I would say I feel normal. I feel like I own it. But in terms of it's not going away, I don't ever, you know, it's so funny. I have to think about this. I guess the way that I think about things is I still very consciously think about what I do. Like, I still plan, I still do the things that got me here. I don't think of those as not being normal, though. I think of those as, like, the things that I just do. I also don't have any fear that I'm going to gain all my weight back. Now, I have times where the scale goes up because I'm getting sloppy. Like, oh my gosh, the summer is usually always the time where I have to really, I'm going to have to, like, hang on. Let me just push my, you can tell I don't have any product in my hair, y'all. It's everywhere. So now I'm going to wear two kinds of glasses. Let me just do this. Hang on. I got to look like somebody. I can't stand just looking like a hobo. Well, that doesn't help. So one of the things is I probably sit. I don't think that how I am is not normal. And I don't think of as it as hard. What I think about when in terms of how I plan food, how I make sure we have healthy food around and all that kind of stuff, I think of that as normal. I think of that as freeing and as like this allows me to be able to enjoy being small. Now, in the summers, though, you know, the summers, what happens is we travel a lot and I make a lot of decisions to drink more. I'm always going to eat more. Like, I'm just deciding to do those things, right? And after the summer, I'm usually up about 5 pounds. What I have noticed transition for me, and I've watched this pattern in myself, and I'm like in the middle of it right now because it's near the end of summer. We, you know, I've got like one more trip to Vegas. Like we vacation so much. It's so funny because it always seems like fun and games until about the last trip. And then about the last trip, you start thinking like, whoo, can't wait to just get back to normal routine. So one of the things is, you know, the weight starts going up a little bit, but I never think that it's like I don't sit around going, oh, it's creeping up as if I didn't have anything to do with it. What I always tell myself is, of course it's up. It is. I keep trying to fix my hair and it just ends up looking worse and worse, but it's like, of course it's up. It is because you're eating these things. Of course it's up. It's because you're doing these things. I keep my mind very real and non-judgmental around what's going on. And so when I do that, I also do a lot of telling myself of, and every decision counts. So like if you're going to be on vacation in 2 weeks and you're going to be eating the things and enjoying the drinks, all the decisions right now count. What I watch most people do, especially in maintenance, is they just start eating some stuff and then they let the little things get away from them. I'm very conscious of, you know, saying like every decision counts. And it also bleeds into when I'm on vacation. So when I go, like when I go to Vegas, I don't go into fuck it mode. Like I don't go into, oh my God, we're on vacation, we're seeing all the things. It's like, no, I go on vacation, I'm very deliberate. And I don't limit myself. Like I'm just like, this is what I'm having. This is on the plan and stuff. But it keeps me out of like in the morning going, well, I can have like, Everybody else is having a really special breakfast and stuff, and I don't end up drinking my coffee. Because I always practice the mindset of just each decision counts. And each decision is independent of the decision before or the next one. It's just this decision. So it's like a lot of, I think for me, I just think all of it feels very normal. I don't panic that I'm going to like gain my weight back. I will say, just to be honest, guys, you know, I think because I am like, you know, in a business where there's a lot of social media, there's a lot of me putting myself out there. I mean, you know, nobody probably shows up more real with their group than I do with you guys, obviously. I think for me, I have to watch my brain get to where I start feeling like how I look has anything to do. Like, I've noticed work that I have to do on is how I look has nothing to do with you guys. Because it is so easy, I think, in this industry for me to think how I look has something to do with you guys. And it's like, no one in PNP Tribe is losing weight because of how I look. And when I release that pressure off of myself, it is like I switch from self-loathing to self-loving almost in an instant. And it also reminds me that like you guys need the tools that I need to self-love. So when I'm working on that stuff, it's so much easier for me to teach you guys how to love yourself at any weight. I know it seems crazy when I'm talking about being almost 15 years in maintenance, weighing what I do. I mean, I have literally been between 150 and 160 for 15 years. 15 years. And I'm very proud of that. And most of the time, I'm like almost dead set on the 155. I just, when I think about it in terms of that, it blows my mind away. But in the day-to-day, I'm just like you. It is so easy to get on the scale. It is so easy to look at myself in a picture and not like something I see. It's so easy to do that and then immediately go into self-loathing. And I remind myself, this is always an opportunity to practice thinking a different way. And most of the time, what drives me is that when I'm using that as an opportunity, it's so much easier to teach other people to do the same thing. It's so much easier to be integrity with you guys when I know I'm working on the same shit. And when I like understand how hard it is, but I also understand, like the more I do it, the more I understand how to let it go and how to explain and articulate it to you guys. So, I mean, I guess the long story short is it feels very normal. It feels like it's just what I do. But it doesn't, I don't know how to explain it this way. Just take it for what it is. Feels very normal. It feels just like what I do, but it also feels very on purpose at the same time. I am still a very on purpose and deliberate person. And I've just found there's so much benefit to living my life this way that without it, I would feel lost. And I think that's what I watch a lot of you go through. You fight the 24-hour plan. You fight thinking ahead. You fight all this stuff thinking that somehow it's more work and it's taking away from you and all this other stuff. And the more on purpose I live and the more deliberate I feel and live, the more I see it add value to my life, how much pressure it takes off of me. And when I'm not having to think because I am making all these plans and doing all this stuff, I have way more awareness around what I'm thinking just in the small moments about my body, about my future, about my abilities. I just get to think about what I'm thinking. So I hope that helps. I know that was a lot of shit all at once, but anyway, it's where I'm at. Podcast or book recommendations to help me figure out who to be when I grow up. I would listen to Brooke's podcast, thelifecoachschool.com. She has lots of podcasts on stuff like that. Why am I afraid to eat less? I don't know. You have to tell me. That's just a question to answer. Why am I afraid to eat less? The best way to answer those questions, guys, is I would sit there and I would totally like say, I'm going to give myself 20 answers. Some of which may be true and some of which may not. But I'm going to like make my brain think about it. And then read over and see what resonates. I'm 5'7 and I weigh 160 pounds. Should I be in maintenance? I don't know. Do you want to be in maintenance? Like, I know a lot of you want me to just tell you things. A lot of people who are 5'7 and weigh 160 love it. A lot of people who are 570 and 160 want to be 150. I don't know. You need to look at yourself and you need to be like, do I like this? Is this enough? And if your answer is no, ask why. Don't, if it, the answer is because at 150, I'd be so much happier. Like when, like if I wanted to like weigh less, I would never do it because I think it would make me happier. If I wanted to weigh less, it would be like, because I'm up for the challenge. Because I want to see more bicep. Like something along those lines. But I would never think that it was going to create a feeling in me. The only thing that's ever going to create a feeling in you guys is the way you think. And we do not need to weigh a certain thing to feel good about ourselves. We need to feel good about ourselves now and learn how to do that. So that if you want to weigh less, you get to feel good on the way down. You get to do it for yourself. That was the significant shift for me to lose 100 pounds. Was when I started at 250 figuring out how to do things for me. Because I was like ready to start like really creating the version of me that I wanted to be. I dropped being fearful that I was going to stay this way. And that I was like starting to refuse to say bad things to myself. I was just like, I took pride in my actions. Like, you know, when I was 250, it was really hard for me to take pride in my body. When I was 200, it was hard for me to take pride in my body. But I didn't have to beat myself up over it. Like, I knew real quick, like, I don't have to be loathing my body. I may not have the capacity yet to love it, but I for sure don't have to beat myself up over it. And what I can do is I can start figuring out, well, if I want to be proud of me, where can I start? I can start with my actions. I can start with how I'm showing up for myself. I can start examining those things. That I can for sure start doing. And then I can normalize my body. I can normalize my thinking around it. I can start now. Like if I want to love my post weight loss body, then if I can start now not beating up this one and learn how to love it on the way down, oh my God, it will be so amazing when I get there. Can you imagine? Imagine how easy it is to love your maintenance body if at 250, you can start with, I'm just going to not beat myself up anymore. And when I try to, I'm going to be on a mission to teach myself not to do it. And that's the way I took my approach the last time. And it works. When we level up, are we supposed to be continuing to build on that each week and adding level ups each week in addition to what we did the week before? That's how I did it, but that doesn't mean that's how you have to do it. You can always try different level ups and then see which ones you love and keep those. And if you try a level up and you're like, ugh, I didn't really love that one, then go back to what you were doing. That's super easy to do. I'm having trouble following my 24-hour plan. No one has trouble. Like, guys, I want everybody to say this. I don't have trouble following my 24-hour plan. That would be like saying, I have an amazing skill at following the 24-hour plan. Guys, you're either doing it or you're not. Just say, like, I'm not following my 24-hour plan right now. I'm inconsistent with it. I only do it certain days. I don't do it these days. Like, the reason why this is important is I'm going to really start getting you guys on the way you talk. You're not having trouble. It's like, I'm either doing it or I'm not. It was working fine, but now over the summer, it doesn't seem so realistic. Should I kind of backtrack and add what I need to so I can stay on track? It will mean adding a meal that I normally don't eat during the school year. I think that's fine, but here's what I would ask myself, Jackie. Why in the summer do you need to eat versus when you're at school? If at school it's because you're distracted, then you're not really, like, then in the summer, it's like, well, then I can't handle bored or whatever it is. Like, what I would do before you add food in, use this for what it's telling you. I'm wanting to add a snack in so I don't have to feel something. Each day, something keeps coming up for me. Hang on, I got a message I gotta get deleted. Something keeps coming up for me. There's at this point of the day, for some reason, I'm not wanting to feel something because when I'm at school, I'm more than willing to blow through it. And what is that? Before you add food in, just get real curious first. Rather than thinking I'm having trouble following my 24-hour plan, just think, my 24-hour plan is telling me something. during this time of day, something's going on, because that shit don't happen when I'm at school. What's going on during this time of day? Did you ever have a time in your weight loss where you self-sabotage your progress? I came off the weekend and lost 2 pounds. As the week progressed, I gained about a pound back. Why do I do this? It just keeps creeping up. It's not creeping up. Watch what you're saying, people. If this is like, thank God this is happening now. I need to figure out why when I lose 2 pounds. Like, here's the first thing. You didn't really say if you were self-sabotaging. Like, this is why this is so important. If you weren't focused on it creeping up as if it's not in your control, here's how you would have asked the question. Did you ever have a time in your weight loss where you self-sabotage? I came off the weekend where I lost 2 pounds. As the week went on, here are the things I did. As a result, I gained a pound. What do you think, Corinne? That's very different from like I'm self-sabotaging and my weight's creeping up as if things are just happening around you. Guys, get really specific. When you're having overeats, there is no shame in posting like, here's where I'm overeating. I guarantee if you had just typed out exactly what you were doing throughout the typing out of it, you would have been like, oh yeah, I probably need to like work on why I'm eating this. Why is that back? Oh, it's because of this. The 2 pound loss doesn't cause a self-sabotage. The thought about the 2 pound loss right now is causing a self-sabotage because you think that progress means something. And it's not good. Otherwise, progress for you should be like, I lost 2 pounds. Let's figure out what we did last weekend and do more of that. Okay? All right, guys, that's it for today. Y'all have a good one. I'm going to eat me some breakfast. And then I am going to work on time management the rest of the day. It's going to be a good program in August. I'm really excited about it. I love teaching how to manage your time and stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And I will talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.